It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
TGIF crew, and welcome to Firearm Friday. I am your host, Chris Dover, and today we're going to have a conversation, a very important conversation about mental health. We're going to be talking with Debbie Plotnick from Mental Health America, who has also been partnering up lately with quite a few folks in the firearm industry through Walk the Talk America. But first, let's take a quick moment and talk about high caliber targets. Now, not all steel targets are created equal, obviously. You've got AR-500 steel, but even then, depending on the process by which it's cut and several other factors, not all AR-500 steel is the same. But with high caliber targets, rest assured you're going to be getting a high quality steel target every single time. And a big thanks to High Caliber Targets. They also sponsor the Lawn Chair Pops that we do every month over on Patreon.com. So be sure to go check those guys out. The easiest way to find them is going to be on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/calibertarget. We have Debbie with us this morning from Mental Health America. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here with you and your listeners.
I sure appreciate you joining us this morning. If you would, tell us a little bit about your station. What exactly is it that you do with Mental Health America?
Sure. As you said, I'm Debbie. I'm Debbie Plotnick. I'm Vice President for Mental Health and Systems Advocacy at Mental Health America. And Mental Health America is the nation's oldest mental health advocacy organization. We're just about to celebrate our 109th birthday next week.
Wow.
And we've been around a long time. And Mental Health America is very much the voice of lived experience, people with mental health conditions. And the founder of Mental Health America, whose name was Clifford Beers, going back that 109 years, was best known for saying, "I will fight in the open." So that one of the major factors around Mental Health America is being overt, is talking, is not being ashamed, and not being ashamed and not blaming. Now, Mental Health America has four very important perspectives when it comes to mental health. One is prevention for all. We know that if we're not afraid to talk about mental health conditions and take a look at everybody and see how they're doing, that folks are going to do better. So we've got prevention for all. We've got early intervention for people who are at risk. Risk might be something terrible happened to you. Risk might be you live in toxic stress. Risk might be that some traumatic thing occurred in your life, or you have a genetic predisposition from your family history. So we know that we need extra attention and early intervention for people who are at risk. We know we need integrated care and treatment for people who are showing some signs of mental health conditions. That means a checkup from the neck up all the time. That means from prenatal for moms, it means pediatrics for kids, it means family care, it means elder care, it means paying attention through the lifespan and having access to that integrated care and treatment. The most important of all is recovery as the goal, because just having a mental health condition or being affected at one point in your life doesn't mean that you always are. And it doesn't mean, even if you have an ongoing issue, that you can't have a wonderful, successful, thriving life in the community along with everybody else. So that's who Mental Health America is. And I do the advocacy and the systems change. So I say that I have the best job in the whole world because I get to talk with people. Mm-hmm. I get to make friends. I get to listen. And that's why I'm here with you today. And I appreciate the opportunity for us to have a conversation.
You bet. It sounds like you're the person that gets to hear those success stories, right? You get to hear how the programs that you guys have in play are truly affecting people and helping people.
We do. And we very much walk our own talk at Health America. Almost all of the folks who are involved in our 42 states that we're in our over 200 affiliates, are people themselves with lived experience with a mental health condition, or very closely aligned with somebody, a family member, a spouse, a parent, a sibling, with somebody. So we know that mental health conditions can be serious. We know they can be attended to early. We know that folks can absolutely recover and do splendidly. And we know that it's really important to not paint people with labels for their entire lives. Even if they're living with a condition, that doesn't define who they are. Recovery is a big part of living like everybody else.
Yeah, and I'm guessing with some mental health issues, it's much like probably much like alcoholism or something like that. It's a lifetime recovery, correct?
Well, it might be. So about a third of the time when people have something that we would consider a mental health condition, had a traumatic event, or they experienced a severe depression, even a psychotic episode, about a third of the time it's one and done. This another third of the episodic. That means that sometimes throughout their lives, things may get to a situation where it becomes acute. And then a third of the time, it's chronic, so that people have to always be attending to their mental health.
Okay.
So there really is a full continuum.
Gotcha. And so it's split pretty evenly, you think?
Across yeah, those pretty things? Evenly.
Okay.
Even with people with the most severe kinds of events, like psychotic episodes. Yeah. So even there, pretty much a third. Same third breakdown. One and done, episodic, or living with going on for their lives, you know, having to be attended to, as just like folks live with other conditions. They live with diabetes. Absolutely. They live with heart disease.
Absolutely. And with the resources and proper attention and care, I'm sure that one-third that is chronic, they can generally still live fairly productive lives, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. What it has to do with is getting the proper treatment and supports. Families are very important. Having supports in the community. We like to talk about recovery, and some of the most important components of recovery are the things that everybody needs in their lives. They need a safe place to live. They need meaningful engagement in the community. Maybe that's working, going to school, volunteering. They need friends and intimate partners. We like to look at it as a home, a job, and a date on Saturday night, just like everybody else.
Right. Now, as far as the website over there, that's mentalhealthamerica.net.
Correct.
What type of resources and things are available over there through that website?
Well, we have a lot of amazing resources. We have information about mental health. We have advocacy. And we have a whole screening website. You mentioned our friends at Walk the Talk America, and I know we'll talk more about our collaboration. They also link to our screening site. So a little less than 4 years ago, and just about 4 million screens just for depression,
Wow. We
put up this website without any fanfare. And folks organically found it. And we were very, very surprised to find that two-thirds of the people who came to our website were quite young. Now, part of that is it's a demographic of folks who are hanging out on the internet, but it's not just that they're young.
Right.
It's that mental health conditions and often start when people are young. So we found that two-thirds of the people who came to the website were under age 24, and a full third of those were between 11 and 17. Now, this really didn't surprise us, because we know even folks who have ongoing mental health conditions, or early on mental health conditions that are the one and done or the episodic, it starts to manifest in early adolescence, in teenage years. So we know that teenagers, in fact, suicide is the second leading cause of death for adolescents. So we really weren't surprised that so many young folks themselves were coming. But what was surprising was, of the people who are coming to our website, about 3/4 of those people were testing positive when they took a screen for the condition they were screening for, whether it was depression, eating disorder, maybe even experiencing a psychotic illness. So we were very pleased to know that people were reaching out to us as well as us reaching out to them. That's a really important part of our website.
And I think it's encouraging, too, what you mentioned about putting that up and organically getting that traffic to those screenings. That really speaks to people out there attempting. There are a pretty good number of people that are out there trying to get that help. They're looking for that help, which is nice.
It's exactly, nice, Chris. And the thing that for folks who come to our website and take the screens, we've asked them, what are you going to do next? You know, what would you like to do? Would you like a link to resources in the community? Would you like do-it-yourself tools? Is this a crisis? Can we put you in touch with somebody right now, you know, through text or call? What we found was that an awful lot of people want to do it yourself. So our website has a lot of DIY tools. It has apps, it has printouts, it has worksheets, it has information, because we know that people know when something's bothering them. That's why they reached out, and they know that they would like to have lots of ways that they can address it with others or by doing things themselves.
Okay. Now, as far as the screenings go, is there a recommended time and or interval that is suggested for doing those screenings? In other words, if I feel fine, would it be advantageous for me to still go take those screenings?
Well, sure, it would be. And in fact, one of the things that I advocate for and that we as an organization advocate for is that we regularly do mental health checkups, as we say, that checkup from the neck up, just like you would regularly test your vision or your hearing or, you know, your blood pressure, make sure there's nothing going on. That's very reassuring. And also, you'll catch something early that you may not have realized was troubling you. It's not a definitive diagnosis, but it's telling you maybe take a deeper look or look again at another time, you know, come back soon, or maybe talk to a family member, a friend, clergy, the doctor, whoever it is that you find is supportive and helpful for you. So it's a good idea to just check.
Right. Very cool. So again, if you're looking for that is mentalhealthamerica.net. Also, over you mentioned that was, so when we go to the Walk the Talk America, that is actually linking to, you say, mental health, the screenings there, correct?
That's correct. They link to our site, and we were very happy that folks from the firearm industry, Mike Saldani and Rob Pincus in particular, reached out to us. They read our position statement on mental health and violence, where we were very clear about the fact that having a mental health condition should not preclude someone from owning a firearm, nor does it make them more likely to be violent. We know that the vast majority of violent acts are not perpetrated by people with mental health conditions. In fact, people with mental health conditions are far more likely to be victims of violence. We know that about somewhere between 94-96% of violent acts do not involve a mental health condition, and yet it's often painted that way. And so that's one of the things in our particular position statement that caught Mike's attention. The other thing was that Mental Health America, we like to talk about, when we talk about firearms and mental health, we like to be Switzerland. We don't take a position for or against gun control. What we take positions on are getting the facts. And facts like I just mentioned about people with mental health conditions being no more violent than anybody else, maybe less so, because they're more likely to be victims. We like to talk about the fact that the vast majority of interaction that is very negative and very violent and has a bad outcome when it comes to a mental health condition and firearms is suicide. As I mentioned earlier, suicide is the second leading cause of death among adolescents, and it's the 10th leading cause of death overall. So we know that when suicide is in the picture, when someone is feeling suicidal, it often is something that the urge to take action is very quick. So someone might be thinking about it for a while. There might be detectable signs. They may be feeling depressed. But when they decide to take action, it might be as little as 5 minutes.
Wow.
And if they have access to lethal means, i.e. a firearm, then they're 85% of the time they're likely to be successful. We know if they don't have access to a firearm, about 90% of the time they do survive their attempt. And very importantly, once somebody attempts suicide, they don't, most of the time, they don't go on to die by suicide. Again, about 90% of the time they don't. So we know there are these critical points where we want to say to somebody, and we want to say it in as neutral a way as we can. There's no blame, there's no shame here, saying you're not feeling okay, get checked out, and maybe find a way to offer your firearms in a safe and legal, very safe way to give it to somebody to hold until you're feeling better. So Mike really appreciated the fact that we're neutral on these things, that we're clear about the distinction between violence to others and danger to self around suicide. And so we began a dialogue, and we appreciated that he reached out. I invited him to come to some of the policy meetings that I run around the country. I do 4 major meetings around the country every year, and we were happy to have Mike as our guest attend one of them earlier this past summer in July. And the last one we did this year, we had Mike and Rob actually as speakers. And then we were very honored to collaborate with them, come to the SHOT Show, and come and talk to folks in the firearm community about not being afraid to speak out, to talk, to look. And most important to me is that we talk to each other and not about each other. This is not about shaming and blaming. This is about a open dialogue and conversation.
Right. Now, with the short action time that you mentioned there, that certainly, I mean, that's a valid point, and it makes complete sense. And I think that with it's largely brushed under the table. I know that in the firearm community, we talk a lot about, you know, well, okay, there's, you know, 30 some odd thousand firearm related deaths in the U.S. every year, and then we quickly a lot of times dismiss 2/3 of those as suicide. And
yep.
by dismiss, I mean we're so focused on, you know, trying to find the boogeyman for that, right? I guess that a lot of times we dismiss that and we go, but 2/3 of those are suicide. So we throw that away, and then we start talking about that third that's left, and often we forget about that 2/3.
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris.
What I find amazing.
There are family members, there are neighbors, there are friends.
Yeah, and what I find with you guys and what Walk the Talk is doing is, you know, to combat that 2/3, to address that head on, which you're doing, which is absolutely fantastic. And the key to that is like you mentioned, is early detection. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, we have to be able to notice people that are having issues, or at least make people feel comfortable in getting these screenings and trying to identify those problems early, so it doesn't get to that action phase.
Exactly. And one of the things that's really important is that, and you mentioned about recognizing, people sometimes recognize themselves, as I mentioned, when you have the young folks, the 11 to 17, the under 24, nobody's ever talked to them about it before, they're noticing it themselves. But sometimes it's the people around you. Sometimes it's the moms and dads. For folks who are adults, it's their spouses or their siblings. So we have screenings on our website also for parents. to take a look and say, hey, is my young person exhibiting signs of depression? We're exhibiting signs that may be indicative of something emerging. So that's really very helpful.
Now with the partnering up and sort of aligning with the farm community through Walk the Talk America, I've got to ask, do you know of any time that the MHA has worked with any other sector, industry, or group of people toward a common goal like this?
Well, sure. We work with many other sectors on common goals. I'll give you a very concrete example. Mm-hmm. I spend an awful lot of my time on people getting access to healthcare. In fact, today I'm writing a piece around oral health and how the lack of oral health, taking care of your teeth, disproportionately affects people with mental health conditions, and how not paying attention to your oral health can really give you depression, heart disease, maybe impair your cognition. So we do a lot of work around access to healthcare in terms of people getting fair treatment, not getting discriminated against if they're seeking treatment for a mental health condition as an oral health. We work on making sure that people have supports in their community. We work with other industries, insurance industry, medication folk. So there are a lot of industries. This is the first collaboration that we've had with folks in the firearm industry, mm-hmm. but it's certainly not the first collaboration with other industries or other sectors.
Right, and I'm guessing fairly good success with those other industries and sectors?
Very much so, okay. Very much so. So, you know, I tease and I say, you know, I have the best job in the world because I get to push people.
Right.
And part of what I push people to do is more access to healthcare, better oral health, better supports in the community, and it also is that two-way street of listening. So I'm not trying to push folks in the gun industry to take positions. I'm trying to awaken and open. So it's a little bit of the push there is, how do we have, as I said, that dialogue without shame, without blame, and pay attention to those people who die by suicide? That's our common ground. How do we help people live better, live safer, all of the family members, from the very young family members to the older family members and everybody in between. So I'm hoping that part of our collaboration here will be reaching out to an age demographic that we haven't so much come to our site. I mentioned that so many of the people are very young people, but we know that a lot of folks who are adults, young adults, middle-aged adults, even older adults, know when something too is bothering them. And we hope that through this collaboration, we'll reach more people of more age groups and get them to take screenings and check up on their mental health.
Right. Now, you mentioned with through Walk the Talk of America, yet you did attend the SHOT Show this year. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, now that we're a few weeks removed from that and you've kind of had a chance for all of that to kind of sink in and settle in, what was that experience like?
Well, I'll start with the fact that it was a little overwhelming, just the size of it. My goodness, 65,000 people. I don't think I've ever attended a convention that big, and I've been to some pretty big conventions. Mm-hmm. 6,000, 16,000, but never before 65,000. But I will say, Chris, that it was a pleasure to be there and to engage in talking to people. At our booth that we had collectively, Walk the Talk America and Mental Health America, we had a wonderful graphic that displayed and showed a bubble like the kind that comes up when you get a text on your phone, and populated by people of all different shapes, sizes, ages, colors, backgrounds. And it just said in the middle, let's talk about mental health. And so many people stopped by our booth to talk about mental health. And we joined in at our booth with people from the Nevada Suicide Prevention mm-hmm. Coalition. And the folks who joined us there themselves were firearm safety instructor. Very, very much a part of the community. They do trainings for concealed carry. They do suicide prevention, so that they were very comfortable in the community themselves, and they made me feel very welcome. And I will say people were very happy to talk to me. On the rare occasion when I encountered somebody who, was trying to be positive, but it came out as a little bit negative, saying things like, oh, it's not fun. We talk about mental health guns. It's not guns. It's not at all. You know, it's like, oh, that's an opportunity to have a conversation, to open that dialogue. Right. And by the way, only a handful of people said something like that. Mostly they said, I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad you're talking about this. Let me tell you about somebody in my family. And that's what we generally find. I have a long career of going into talking to legislators and talking to community groups and talking to healthcare groups and telling personal stories about my own experience, my family experience, and so forth. And I find that people then come to me and say, you know, me too, my family too, my experience too. And so this was an opportunity to come into, if you will, a new arena and have people engage in this. Yeah, it's all our families. How do we work together?
Right. And you make a great point. I mean, you know, mental health is, you boiled it down to its basics, it's health. And, you know, just like we all know someone that's been sick or had a cold or had the flu or, you know, I think just about all of us know somebody, if we have not ourselves, you know, struggle with some type of a mental health issue. So it's a great cause to rally people around, because it rings true for the vast majority of people.
Absolutely. Every family, every community. And that's what I remind people all the time. It's not something to be ashamed of or to hide. And the more that we can talk about it, the less people internalize shame and offer blame back out. So, you know, having this opportunity to talk with you today, to be at the SHOT Show, I'm really happy to have it.
And I think, too, that's one thing, you know, you talk about, you know, we opened up and you were talking about, I think it was the founder that was fighting in the open, I think it was a remark you made.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, having Walk the Talk America, having the Mental Health America, and what did you say, the Nevada Suicide Prevention, there at SHOT Show, I mean, that's quite literally taking it front and center. That's something that the community, I don't know. I was very curious to hear your response, to see how it was received. I want to think, in every group of people and every every faction, every sector, every industry, I guess, wants to think that it's genuinely full of good people. And I think as humans, we want to believe that most people are good people. And I didn't really see that. You know, would not think that you guys would have a, any kind of pushback or anything there. So it's great to see that you were welcomed, because I think that having that, you know, front and center and displayed there at SHOT Show, I think that really shows that, you know, our community, is willing to take on this fight head on. We're willing to talk about the difficult things.
Well, we really appreciate that. I also want to share with you the fact that as I talk to my colleagues in the mental health community, and I am very involved in the national mental health community. I just stepped off the board of what is known as the Mental Health Liaison Group, which is an organization of 70-plus national mental health organizations. Mm-hmm. And the folks in my community are very happy to hear we're opening this dialogue. Right. They too feel that we have long neglected the talking to each other, and too often have been talking about each other.
Right, yeah. So instead of talking with someone, you're talking at them.
Right.
The old adage goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, as far as moving forward with Mental Health America, working with Walk the Talk America, what's in the works for, you know, 2019? Is there any special projects or things that you guys are wanting to get addressed this year specifically?
Absolutely. We are, we'll be working real hard. I'll be spending a lot of my time next month working with my collaborators at Walk the Talk America. We'd like to come up with some special trainings for folks in the firearm industry, particularly folks in the business of selling firearms.
Oh, okay.
How to recognize if somebody's coming into your place of business who may be suicidal. That's a really important thing. There's some good program to get to a national level. And through using the materials that have already been piloted and created, and we'll work on pulling all of the knowledge that the folks who are experts like Rob and Mike have and the expertise that Mental Health America has, we're going to come up with a certification for folks in the firearm industry to show that they have the knowledge to recognize that someone might need to store their firearms. There's a lot of activity around the country, but it's just in little pockets where firearm business owners will take back and hold somebody's gun, or are trained. More importantly, we need more folks who are trained to recognize if somebody comes in and is exhibiting suicidal signs. So it's both how to recognize and then offering people the knowledge about what they can do to prevent a tragedy of somebody taking their own life.
Now, did you say do you already have some of that working now in different pockets?
Well, we don't. There are people who have piloted programs. There's a number of programs around the country that are quite good. One out of New Hampshire. There are some little terrific things going on in little places like in Madison, Wisconsin. There's a wonderful program where gun shop owners charge a very small fee. And I mean small. It's nominal, but it's something so there's skin in the game if somebody wants to ask them hold their firearms for them because they're not feeling okay, mm-hmm. or a member of their family is not feeling okay, and you want to make sure you get them out of the house. So these are the kinds of things that we want to talk about. How do we bring them to scale? How do we bring knowledge of these kinds of things to the owners of, the sellers, to the purveyors, as well as other people in the industry?
Right. And I know that's as far as the different local gun shops or whatever, as far as them being able to take and hold firearms for somebody that feel that they need that done. I know that has to be almost done on in that controlled environment because of the different, you're dealing with a lot of different state regulations and state laws when you're doing that. So it seems like that's going to be a hurdle to try to get all of that lined out.
Yep, and that's something that I'm going to be diving into, finding out all the different state laws, what we can do, using, as I said, the expertise of trainers like Rob Pincus and the connections that Mike has through the industry and what kinds of things people are involved in. Over the years, I've been doing on a very small scale, not on a big scale like we did yesterday, but at some of my meetings over the years, I've had folks from states like Texas who have small programs where they encourage family members to say to somebody, I'm going to hold your guns for you for a while, and things like that. But that's not legal in all states. So in a state like New Jersey, where actually Mike is from, if you were to give your firearms to your friend or your brother or your neighbor, you both could be charged with a felony. So we need to find safe and legal ways to recognize that there's a problem and help somebody make their home a little bit safer while they deal with whatever it is they need to deal with. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important things for Mental Health America, and one of the reasons that we were able to collaborate, is that we know, because of the fact that, if you were once a suicidal teenager, that doesn't mean that you're a danger to yourself or everybody else for your whole life. So we need to have a due process. We need to have time limited. We need to make sure that we're protecting people's rights on all sides. Mental Health America is about fighting in the open and about protecting civil rights, not discriminating against people.
And it, pardon me, it goes, you know, I don't know, with the whole, you know, making sure that there's a safe, you know, a safe place to you know, store firearms in the event that somebody's having an issue or something like that. I mean, a lot of what we're talking about, that certainly applies as well, but a lot of what we talked about so far sort of falls on our responsibility as not just firearm owners, but in a broader sense as members of a community, as members of a neighborhood, as a resident of a town or a city, to, you know, kind of look out for our fellow man in a way. And, you know, if we see issues, I know that I've had a situation, I've talked with Michael about it before, and I talked with you at SHOT Show. I've had a situation before where, you know, I've had to do that. I've had to take in firearms, you know, from someone temporarily. And, you know, I think if we had more people out there that were aware and were, you know, awareness is the big key component, I think, for everything. So many people are tied up in their day-to-day life and in work and their family and everything else that, you know, when it comes to anything outside of their immediate family, be it extended family or friends or people in the community, a lot of the times they're just they're so entrenched in that what do they call it, you know, the day-to-day routine, I guess. They're so entrenched in that, you know, they're not aware a lot of times of other people's issues. And I think that's one key component that us as, you know, as humans, as you'll have to become a little more aware of what's going on. And I think that the more we talk about Walk the Talk America, Mental Health America, those sorts of things, the more that we can get people thinking about it, and it's in their mind. And, you know, if they see someone that's having trouble, you know I wear my bracelets, you know, every day, and I get people that ask, you know, what is that? And I'm always happy to tell them, you know, hey, this is Walk the Talk America. And, you know, it's great if you know anybody that's, you know, struggling with any type of mental issue, hey, get them over there on that website and get them to check it out. So, you know, that's the key thing is being aware. And then from there, you know, like I said, as people, we have to be willing, not just to share the information, but actually have a compassion for people and a willing to help in some way, like maybe physically help, maybe take in those firearms and store them for that person temporarily, or, you know, however we might, maybe drive them to an appointment somewhere that they need to, you know, go and actually talk to someone. But there needs to be a little more, you know, compassion is the word I always come back to. We've lost that, I think, in the past few decades or something like that along the way. I think we've lost it, and I think that's a big component. And I think as we push and we, like you say, fight out in the open with this, I think we'll see more and more of that happening, where good people become better people.
That's a wonderful way to put it, Chris. I couldn't agree with you more. Good people become better people, lead with compassion, not be afraid to talk to each other, take away the blame, and reach out and ask somebody how you feeling and how can I help.
Exactly. So with that, it looks like we're pretty much close to time. So I'm going to let you kind of close it out a little bit here. What is that website if people want to check it out for all the resources and everything else?
Well, they can go through Walk the Talk America if they're more comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. walkthetalkamerica.org/love, I believe. You know what? I'm not looking at my notes here.
It is. It's slash love.
MentalHealthAmerica.org. Excuse me, .net. MentalHealthAmerica is .net. We also have MHAScreening.net. And you can get to the screenings in any of those ways. I welcome conversation with people. If people would like to reach out and invite me to dialogue with them, or if they would like to have mental health programs in their community or things like that, again, I'm Debbie Plotnick. I can be reached at D Plotnick, see if I can spell my name right, DPLOTNICK at mentalhealthamerica.net. I appreciate the opportunity to reach out to your listeners, and I think that together with that communication, with that compassion, that caring, we're going to make a big difference in a positive way. So I really appreciate it, Chris.
You bet, and I guarantee that we can make a difference. Again, I appreciate what you're doing as well as you taking the time. I know you're a very busy lady, so taking the time to come on and talk with us this morning, Debbie. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertech.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertech. Have a great weekend.